All right, Tabo, say good morning. Let's begin. So a beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. So today's daf is Samech Vav. We are picking up on Samech Hei Amud Beis, and we're picking up at the two dots. So we left off Mishkein Lo Bayis. We actually have a little bit to do today. So we left off 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara tells the following story. Mishkein Lo Bayis. Mishkein lo sada. So we'll say if a person, I lent money to Reuven, and Reuven gave me as collateral his home, or gave me as collateral a field. V'amrlo, and the Malva said to the Lova, right? Shilachishetirza lemochram lo simkram elali bidamim halolu. So the lender say to the borrower, if you ever have in mind to sell these items, then ultimately, I'm making it tonight that you could only sell them to me with this price. Now, what does it mean, this price? Take a look at Rashi. Third wide line, not the widest lines, but the intermediate lines of Rashi. Damim halalu. Pasuk lo damim mu'atim. Lahosif lo al ma'oz halva. Latmisa lo im ba lamochra. So I'll say, so what I do over here is I undercut the market. So I lend Reuven money, he gives me collateral. Essentially I say to him, listen, if you ever have in mind to sell this field or this home that is collateralized, so we agree that you're only going to sell it to me, and here's the purchase price. And the purchase price is below market. So what's the halacha? Aser. So of course, such an arrangement is going to be aser. Bishav yehen muter. But if I agree to buy the field at its proper market value, then halacha lamaisa, such a transaction will be muter. So man tana b'dam halalu aser. So we'll say, who is the one who says that if you go out and you undercut the market, such a transaction will be aser? Am Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yehoshua d'lok Rav Yehuda. So we'll say, so it keeps going back to this. It's not... Before we know who it's like, one thing we could say for sure is it's not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Di Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar tzad echad beribis muter. Because you must remember Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a transaction that is only a one-sided ribis transaction. In other words, that if it's a transaction where ribis may not definitively occur, Rabbi Yehuda holds that such a transaction is mutter. So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Tzad echad hay nami dumalo asile di ribis. So for example, in a case like this, this may not result in ribis. How so? It could be that the borrower may never choose to sell his field or to sell his home. If he chooses never to sell it, then lemaisa there's no ribis issue. And remember, in those type of transactions, credit to Rabbi Yehuda, they're mutter. And should the borrower choose to go ahead and sell his field or his home, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the lender would be obligated to return the interest, the ribis amount. Okay, says the Gemara. Follow up on that. This is all part of a brayso, Rashi points out. Next, machar lo bayis, machar lo sadeva, amar lo, l'cheshiyu li ma'os echzirem li, aser, l'cheshiyu l'cha ma'os echzirem l'cha motar. Both listen to this next case. So I sell Reuven a house, or I sell Reuven a field, and I say to him, listen, here is the deal. When I have money, you agree to return this home or this field back to me. So in other words, I sell the field, but apparently I don't really want to sell it. I'm doing it because of financial duress. And I explicitly say, you agree that when I have money, you will sell the field back to me. You'll give the field back to me. So the Braisa says that that is usher.
Same price?
Whatever the price is. Oh, you're saying, hold on to that. However, if the purchaser says to me, the seller, that don't worry about it, when you have money, I'll return it to you, such a transaction will be mutter. So let's analyze this a little bit. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Machar lo bayis is the first of the widest line in Rashi. Machar lo bayis v'nasan lo kol damav. So I go ahead, I sell a house to Reuven, and Reuven pays me full price. V'amar lo mocher, and I, the seller, say to Reuven, the buyer, Al menas kein ani mocher lecha, v'cheshiyiyu li ma'os hechzirem li, v'tol ma'osecha. So again, I say to Reuven, listen, here's the deal. When I have money, essentially, you have to give me back the house, and I'll give you back the money, the purchase price. So whatever you paid me, I'm going to give you back. So the Braisa rules that is usser. Rashi says, Denimsa she'in ze mecher, o kisha'acho peros schar ma'osef o mivinotos. So we'll say, what's the problem with this transaction? The problem is the following. That if I sell my house to Reuven, I say to Reuven, listen, when I have money, you agree to sell it back to me. The Lashon is give it back to me, because he's going to give it back to me, I'm going to give him back his money. The problem with that transaction is it's ribis. Why is it ribis? Because all of this duration of time between the time that I sell and the time that I buy it back, Reuven is enjoying benefit from the land, right? He's getting the payoff. So essentially what's going to end up happening is, at some time in the future, he's going to get back his money, his initial investment, plus what? Plus all of the accrued benefit that he has had while living on the land. That's called ribis. That's called ribis. So therefore that is usur. On the other hand, Rashi says, but if Reuven is the one who says, listen, don't worry about it. You're selling me this land now. Reuven, the buyer, says, when you have money, I'll give you back the land. So that's going to be mutter. So it's asked the Gemara, Mantana. So whose opinion is this? I'm Rav Huna Rabbi Yeshua. The Lok Rabbi Huda. So again, I will say, it's not like Rabbi Huda. Why? The Rabbi Huda, Ha'amar Tzalech Rabbis Mutter. So I'll say, because remember, Rabbi Huda would hold this transaction as Mutter. Why is it Mutter? Because this, again, is a Tzalech Rabbis. Why? Because remember, it's possible that what? That I'm never going to have the money. So I'm never going to buy back the field. If I'm never going to buy back the field, then there's no ribis. Therefore, according to Rabbi Huda, because there is a possibility in this transaction where ribis would not occur, therefore what? Therefore, lemaisa, such a transaction will be mutter. But I asked the Gemara, maishna reisha, o maishna seifa. But asked the Gemara, so why is it that the first part of this brisa is asur? Meaning, if I, the seller, make this tanai, so ultimately, again, it's asur, but yet, if the buyer makes this tanai, it's mutter. Right? What's the pshat? Rosh, listen to this. Amirava seifa da'amalei midaite. Because Rosh Hashanah, when the buyer says this, he's not saying it as a binding agreement. Why is he saying this? Look at Rashi. D'amar lei midaito, Rashi says, im ertza achzirei. So really, what Reuven's saying is the following. When I go ahead and I sell the field to Reuven, and Reuven says, listen, don't worry about it. When you have money, I'll sell it back to you. Reuven is not making a binding commitment. What Reuven is essentially saying is, listen, if one day you have money, and you come to me, and you want to buy back the field, I'm happy to sit down with you. Is it a commitment? Is it a binding promise? Absolutely not. But understand, I'm not making a binding promise to you. Hilchach mutter. Dinami chazer v'kibu ma'osav ad akshav shelo haisa. V'chozer u'mochralo. Supposed to listen to this. Because should it turn out that I go back to Reuven and I say, Reuven, I want to buy back my field. And Reuven says, okay, essentially what's happening over here is a new transaction. Reuven is going to sell me back my field, brand new transaction, but what? There's no ribis issues. About Reisha, Sha'akach, and Tzarech La'asra, Meikar Al-Lafu. So we'll say, so essentially what it comes down to is the following. That in the first case, where I, the seller, am effectively making a t'nai, that when I have money, I'm going to buy back the field and you're going to sell it back to me. That's when if I end up buying it back, we're going to get into a ribis issue, because not only is Reuven getting his money back, but he's also enjoying the peros the entire time. In the second case, the purchaser, Reuven, is saying, listen, Silber, one day when you have money, if you want to buy it back from me, you can buy it back from me. That's a statement that he's making of his own volition that is not legally binding, that is essentially saying, listen, if one day you have money and you want to sit down and potentially buy back the field, we could sit down and negotiate. But it's a brand new separate transaction, and therefore, again, no issues of ribis. So says the Gemara, Hahu gavra d'zabin le'ara l'chavrei. So there was a man who sold field to his friend, Shelo Bachrayis. Now listen to this case. These are all very interesting cases. So there was a guy who sold a field to his friend without a chrayis. Now remember, understand, under normal circumstances, when you go ahead and you sell a property to someone, usually you sell it with a chrayis. A chrayis, for lack of a better term, is a guarantee. It's a guarantee. A guarantee for what? That should I, if I sell Reuven land, if one of the seller's creditors were to come and to seize the land from Reuven, from the purchaser, I agree to make Reuven whole again. Right? Whether it means I replace his money, or more often than not, I'm going to give him another piece of land. That's achrayis. So there was a situation where a guy was selling, the seller was selling to the purchaser without achrayis. So listen to this. Chazye dehava ka'atziv. The seller saw that the buyer was sad. He was sad, meaning he was sad that he wasn't getting achrayis. Amar le amaya tzivas. So the seller says to the buyer, why are you so sad? Don't worry. Itarfu lo minach. Should one of my creditors come and seize this land from you, magvina lecha shufra shivcha uperi. Don't worry about it. If one of my creditors comes and seizes land from you, I will make sure to, number one, go ahead and repay you from the best of my property, plus I'll compensate you for any improvements you made to the land, plus I'll pay you for any lost payros. It's a pretty good deal. Amar Ameymar. Ameymar says, sounds like a nice deal, but too good to be true. Samech Vav Amad Aleph. Pitume Mili Ba'amahu. I both say, the seller is just being nice. Pitume Mili Ba'amah means, literally, Rashi says, Ein Lano Ela Divrei Tanchumin Ba'amah Lefateim Es Libo. The seller is just trying to make the buyer feel better, but in no way is he making a legally binding promise. The Gemara, so Amalei Rav Ashi Ameimar, Taimamai, what's the reason for that? Meaning, how do you know that this is just like a, I mean, why do you say that he's just saying nice words, he's just appeasing him, but it's not a legally binding promise? For one simple reason. Kevan d'lokeach boi la'asnuyi v'hacha mocher kamasni amris patumi mili ba'amur. Both say for one simple reason. Because in a transactional setting, it is supposed to be the purchaser who is making a tanai like this. Meaning normally, it would be the purchaser who would be arranging in order to go ahead and secure and guarantee his investment, not the seller. Not the seller. So because over here it is the seller ultimately who's initiating this promise, therefore it's not a legally binding promise. He's just trying to make him feel a little bit better. But so just to understand where we're going with this, we're getting into the fascinatingly riveting sugya of asmachta, right? Of when people make exaggerated promises. So how does halacha view those exaggerated promises? So here's a perfect case of this. What's happening over here is the seller is promising the buyer, the purchaser, the world. Don't worry about it. I know I'm not giving you. I must say, see, you know why this is, you know why this is like a little bit like you could tell already that it's not really true, is because if he was really willing to guarantee him all of these things, then what? Put in writing. Put in the shtar. No problem. Wonderful. Put in shtar. So whenever somebody promises you the world, but is unwilling to put it down in writing. So again, the halacha says, they're trying to be nice. They're trying to put your mind, again, not trying to fool you. That's not the situation. We're not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. But at the end of the day, they're really just trying to calm you down. So this is, because again, on a transactional level, it should have been, it's not the buyer who normally goes ahead and initiates or pulls out the guarantee for achrayis. It's not the seller, it'd be the buyer. Therefore, this is just simply appeasing him. So the Gemara goes weiter. Elamas nisa diktan l'chashiyu l'chamos achzir l'chamuter. Yeah, Rabbi, say, let's go back to the Brisa we just saw before. The Brisa said before that if the purchaser were to say to the seller, if one day you have money, I will give you back the land, I'll sell it back to you. Mutter, such a transaction is mutter. Why? Because in a case like that, it should have been the seller who initiated this tanai, and mocher lo asni velo keach kamasni, and yet again, it is not the seller who initiated it; rather, it was the purchaser. And I will say, we said before in that price, so what's the difference between the first case where it is the seller who initiates this tanai, and it'll be usher because of ribis, and the seifa where it is the purchaser who initiated the tanai, and yet it's going to be motiva amarava seifa da amar lemi. And Rav explained why. Because in the second case of Osayv the Braisa, where the seller said, well, one day if you have money, where the buyer said, one day if you have money, I'll sell it back to you, that he wasn't making a legally binding promise. He was just simply saying something nice of his own volition. So the reason we understand that it's not binding is because he's just simply saying it of his own volition. Yet Rav say, if he wasn't just saying it of his own volition, he wouldn't just take his words as just simply being niceties. Amarle, to which the Gemara responds, Nasa kiman do amarle mi daite itmar. We'll say what it means at the end of the day is all of these cases are the same. Meaning, the second case of the Raisa, over I sell a field to Reuven, and Reuven says, listen, Silber, one day if you have money, I'm happy to sell a field back to you. We don't view that as a legally binding promise. We simply view it as nice words. Nice words that he's saying, one day if you have money, I'm happy to sit down with you and speak about a sale. I'm not guaranteeing anything. I'm not promising anything. I'm just guaranteeing you an open ear. So too over here, where I sell the land to Reuven, I sell without achrayis, but I promise Reuven, don't worry about it. If my creditors come and seizes the land, I'll pay you back from the iddis, from the best property. I'll go ahead, I'll give you everything you want. I'll reimburse you for home improvements. I'll reimburse you for payros. I'll reimburse you for everything. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. So as I said, at the end of the day, that lemaisa again is not going to be a binding promise. That's just simply something nice that the seller is saying to the purchaser, but with absolutely no legally binding impact. Fine. Haushkim Rabbos, listen to this case. This is mamish like, this is like, this Gemara is like a Rosh Chodesh treat. It's like an adult Rosh Chodesh treat. It says the Gemara, Hahu, and it's sponsored by the PTA. So Hahu, Haushkim Mira, the cause of Lagit Ledvis. Rabbos, listen to this. So there was a man who wrote a get for his wife. Ingid V'isnach. Suppose they say the guy is a shlimira. So remember, the shlimira case is he's on his deathbed. Why is he writing a get to his wife on his deathbed? Because he doesn't want her to fall for yibum. Right? He doesn't want her to fall into a yibum situation, so he's writing her a get now. Now, remember, under normal circumstances, when we've seen a get shlimira, we have normally seen it done with a tenai. And the tenai is imasi. If I die, this will be your get me'achshav. This will be your get from now. In this case, he didn't write it with a tenai. Instead, he just divorced her. He's giving her a get. He's divorcing her now. So as he gives her the get, in God ve'isnach, he sighed. He sighed. In other words, he indicated that he was clearly unhappy about giving this get to his wife. Amrale, she said to him, Amai kamisnachas. Why are you sighing? Don't be upset. I kayames, if you live, didach ana, I'm yours. So I guess this is a nice thing to say, right? You know, if you don't die, I'm going to remarry you. I mean, you don't have to worry. This is only the insurance policy if you die. But if you live, I'm still going to stay with you. Suppose they said the shaila now is, what is the impact of that statement on the get? What is the impact of that statement? So Rav Zavid, again says, he says, those are just nice words. Rashi said, Ein amirazu kabalas tenai. These words do not attach any kind of tenai to the get. Ela lenachamo vim tirtza tenasi la'acher. She was only saying these words to comfort him, but should she want to marry someone else right now, at the end of the day, that prerogative is hers. Amali Ravachami Difti the Ravina. So Ravachami Difti said to Ravina, Vi'ilav Pituimili. Mai Bididah Kaima Lemishte Tuna Bigita. Right? Bididah Kaima Lemishte Tuna. So I say, I don't understand. Why do you have to get into Pituimili? Of course there's no Tanai over here. I will say, she doesn't have the right, a woman doesn't have the right to attach a Tanai to the get. If there's going to be a Tanai in the get, then ultimately, again, who attaches the Tanai? The husband. So meaning, even if she meant it, believe shalim, that if you don't die, I'm yours, who cares? That can't alter the get, because only he has the ability to attach a get, she does not. To which the Gemara says, Devor, I've thought, hu gufei adaita dida kagamir, v'yoev gita. I might have thought the following, that maybe Abba Osayim, after she makes this statement, he essentially attaches a tenai to the get. In other words, that maybe her statement opens his eyes to what she's thinking, and therefore he ends up attaching this tenai to the get, and this tenai becomes part of the get itself. To which the Gemara says, Kamash Malono. Kamash Malono, that we only look at her words as Petumi Mili Ba'alma, we look at her words as nice words to settle his mind, but have absolutely no halachically binding impact. Next. Hava ala sada. So once remember again, we saw in the Mishnah the case of where I go ahead and I lend Reuven money, and I say to Reuven, if you do not pay me back within 3 years, this field is mine. So the Mishnah paskin that such a tenai works, and the field becomes mine in the event of default. Now the chiddush in that case is what? Even if the field is worth significantly more than the amount of the debt, nevertheless, again, the tenai is a valid tenai. So it says in Gemara, Amar Avuna, Bishas Maton Maos, Kana Hakol, La'achra Maton Maos, Lo Kana Ela Kinegel Maosa. So what Avuna says, this only works if this tenai was made at the time that the money was given. In other words, at the time of the transaction of the loan. Then I, the lender, have the ability to acquire the entire field in the event of default. But if this tenai is not made at the time of the transaction, but it's made sometime later on, then the only claim I have in the field is corresponding to the value of the loan itself. For Rav Nachman says no. Rav Nachman says, Afilo la'achra maton ma'os kana hakol. Rav Nachman says, no, even after the money was given, even after the loan was already transacted, even if they only attached this tenai afterwards, still the tenai works, and in the event of default, I, the lender, have the ability to take possession of the entire field. Says the Gemara, Avad Rav Nachman uvda gaberish galusa. So one time this happened with an episode of the Reish Kalusa. So apparently the Reish Kalusa was the lender, right? And the Reish Kalusa had made this tenai, and ultimately, again, the borrower defaulted, and the Reish Kalusa seized the property, and the value of the property was in excess of the value of the loan, yet Rav Nachman said that the Reish Kalusa lender is permitted to keep the property. What happened? Kare Rav Yehuda l'shtarei. So Rav Yehuda heard about this, and Rav Yehuda tore up the shtar. He tore up the shtar of the lender. In other words, he said to the lender, no, you cannot keep that land. So the Gemara says, Amrli Rish Kalusa, Rav Yehuda kare l'shtarach. So the Rish Kalusa came to Rav Nachman and said, Rav Nachman, listen, Rav Yehuda tore up the shtar. In other words, Rav Yehuda ultimately is saying that the halacha does not follow you. What are we going to do over here? Amrle, to which Rav Nachman responded, Dar deka kare gar kare, gavaraba kare, so chazi beitaim of a kare. So listen, Rav Yehuda is a great man. So literally means, did a child tear up the shtar? A great man tore up the shtar. He must have seen something flawed in the transaction. And that's why he went ahead and tore up the shtar. We'll say, ikid amri, there's another version of this exchange. Amrle dardika kare. So in this version of Rav Nachman said, a child tore up the shtar. In other words, he's disparaging Rav Yehuda's tearing up of the shtar. Why? Dekule alma legabe didi bedina dardikininu. Because Rav Nachman said, when it comes to matters of psak halach and dine mamanis, in monetary law, everyone is considered to be a child next to me. In other words, Rav Nachman said, my word is authoritative. My word is authoritative on monetary law. Shabbos is actually true. Meaning Rav Nachman, we usually pass it like Rav Nachman in Inyanim of Dine Mamanis. So listen to this. Hadar Am Rav Nachman. Shabbos say Rav Nachman went ahead and came along and he further said, Afilu Bishas Matan Maos Lo Kana V'Lo Klum. Shabbos say Rav Nachman now came along and said the following. Originally Rav Nachman said that if you go ahead and you make this agreement about the field, so remember again, there's a very specific case where I am lending Reuven money. He gives me a field as collateral. And I say to him, in the event that you do not go ahead and pay me within 3 years, this field is mine. So again, Rav Nachman says, if this Tanai was made at the time of the loan, the Tanai works. What's the Chiddush in the case? The Chiddush in the case is that the loan is worth $1,000. The loan is $1,000. And the field is worth $3,000. Nevertheless, the halacha is that I could take the field in the event of default. Rav Nachman then now comes along and says, no, I take it back. I take it back. Even if you make this Tanai at the time of the transaction, the Tanai is not binding. The Tanai is not binding. Now, we'll say, now, why is that? So we're going to see right now that Rav Nachman is holding over here of Asmachta Lokanya. We'll say, I mentioned this before earlier, Asmachta is an exaggerated promise. An exaggerated promise that people often don't really mean, that people don't mean, but they say for a variety of reasons. Either in order to make another party feel good, in order to make another party feel secure, but they do not have any intentions in carrying through on it. So Rav Nachman says, when you go ahead, if I am the borrower, and I agree to collateralize a field that is worth much more money than the value of the loan, and the lender says, in the event that you default on the loan, I get to keep this money, I get to keep this field, and I say, okay. Paul said, there's only one reason I say okay, and that's why. That's why. Well, first of all, because I need the money. But number two, because I never in a million years feel that it's actually going to come to this. Meaning, I'm willing to agree to it because whatever, it doesn't matter. It's an immaterial promise because I'm going to pay off this debt. That's my intention. It's never going to come to this. I'm going to pay off the debt. Fine. So I make the promise that makes it feel better. That's fine. But I have no intention of honoring this because I'm never going to let it get to this. That's called an asmachta, an exaggerated promise in which I never feel is really going to come to fruition. So Rav Nachman therefore holds that a transaction like this will be void. Eisvei Rav Nachman. So Rav is kashya to Rav Nachman. Im iyat anosin l'mikana shalosh anam harehi shali harehi shala. So I'll say, here's the problem. The Mishnah says this works. Right, the Mishnah says that this very case works. I lend Reuven money. If you don't pay me back in 3 years, this field that you've given me that is worth significantly more than the loan is mine. It works. Amarle, ani omer asmachta kanya, uminyumi amar asmachta lo kanya. So to which Rav Nachman said, look, I actually hold that asmachta kanya. Right, look at Rashi just a moment. Asmachta Rabbo says this exaggerated promise. Ani omer asmachta kanya. I hold that asmachta is binding. Hayisi ragil omer kana hakol. Da asmachta kanya. Ava minyumi chalak alai. Vehechzireni midvarai. Vaha asmachta hiav tacha ba'alma. Lismoch al dvarav. Shimlo yimali dvarav. Yitin lo shalas afan. So we'll say, so Rav Nachman said, listen, I used to think that asmachta kanya, but Minyumi convinced me to say that asmachta lo kanya. So also remember, asmachta kanya means is an exaggerated promise binding? An exaggerated promise which I feel is never really going to come to fruition, therefore I don't really have in mind to commit myself to it. Is it binding? I suppose, just you'll see, by the way, one of the most dramatic examples of Asmachta Kanya, Asmachta Lel Kanya, is in gambling. We'll talk about this a little bit later. Not today. So the Gemara says the following. Minyumi kasha masnis, and bless you. So but minyumi, the Mishnah poses a problem. Ibai say masnis Rabbi Yossi hi. So I'll say, could be the Mishnah affects you over Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds asmachta kanyo. So I'll say the Mishnah might hold the opinion that asmachta kanyo Rabbi Yossi. Vibai sema, the Amar lei kineme aksha. So I'll say the other possibility is that the case of the Mishnah is the following. The case of the Mishnah is, I lend Reuven money. I say, Reuven, in the event that you do not pay me back within 3 years, the field is mine, me'achshav, from now. Now, listen, now, what's the difference when you introduce a me'achshav component? Look at Rashi. V'ibav seim masis namle me'achshav kana, im lo etein l'cha ad shalosh shanim, delav asmachtihi, ela kinyan gomerhi. You see, Rabbosai, once you introduce a me'achshav, then what? There is a real kinyan that is occurring now. Now, true, it's only going to be triggered retroactively, but la maisa, again, there's a real maisa kinyan that's occurring now. Amalei ma'yinuka ma'kashisha b'nei drav chisla ravashi. So we'll say, so these ma'yinuka ma'kashisha, the sons of Rav Chisla said ravashi, hachi amri nardoi m'shmei drav nachman. Hay asmachta bizmanei kanyo, beloz manei lo kanyo. So we learned that in asmachta, this exaggerated promise, in its time is kona, and not in its time it's not kona. Samarle, what does that mean? Samarle, kol midi bizmana kani, below zmani lo kani. So we'll say under normal circumstances, usually all things are only able to acquire at their due date, right, in their time. When it's not their time, they don't acquire. So what's the novelty you're advancing over here? To which the Gemara says, dil mahaki kamrisu. Maybe this is what it means. Ashkeche bigo zmani va amarle kani, kani. So we'll say, listen to this. If I go ahead, and I find the borrower, and we make this agreement during the duration of the debt, and he agrees to this asmachta, the asmachta will be kona. Busser's money, but if I find him after the time that the debt is due, va'amar le'kani, and he says to me to acquire the field, again, I'm both saying, this is the asmachta case. He's going to default on after the due date, and he says acquire the field. Lo kani, I will not acquire the field. My time, what's the easy thing I will say? Machmas kisufa hu deka amrle. Because I will say sometimes if I find the borrower after the due date of the debt, and I say to him, listen, I'm going to keep that field that I took as collateral in payment of the debt, because he's embarrassed that he has not yet repaid the debt, what's going to happen? He's going to agree to that even though what? He doesn't really agree to it. To which the Gemara says, velohi, that's not true. Tafila begos manei namilo kani, because we'll say you could tell that even asmachta is not kona, even during the duration of the debt, v'hai deka amar lekani, and that which we said that it is kona, kasavar kimati zmanei lo lisi letardan. Perhaps the only reason the borrower agrees to the asmachta transaction during the asmachta clause, or the asmachta promise, during the duration of the debt, is that this way he proactively defers the creditor from coming after him when the debt is due. But he doesn't really have in mind to agree to this transaction. Amra Papa, Hayas Machta, Zimnin Kanya, Vizimnin Kanya. Well, so listen to this. So Papa says, sometimes an asmachta will be kona, sometimes it won't be kona. So we'll say, so understand, this is really a very dramatic sugya. You understand why it's very dramatic? Because this happens all of the time, where people make dramatic promises. When I mean dramatic promises, pretty much the Gemara understands anything that's essentially not a quid pro quo although it's not really true, but anything that is a significant non-quid pro quo is going to be an asmachta. Like these cases, I borrow $1,000 and collateralize field that's worth three times the debt, and say that if I don't pay, you could seize the field. So things like that, we have to ask ourselves, is the borrower really committing to that? Or is he just saying that because at the end of the day he feels there's no way I'm going to default on this? So he's willing to make exaggerated promises that he doesn't really have in mind to honor. And the problem is if he doesn't have in mind to honor it, it erodes the integrity of the promise. So now our Papa says the following. There are times, I'm sorry? So now remember, Ona is by sales. Ona is not going to be by cases of collateral. Wait, what? Not by collateral. There's no by collateral. If I could choose to give you something much greater in value. So says the Gemara. Suppose listen to this. So Rav Papa says, there are times that asmachta is konas, times that asmachta is not konas. Watch this. Ashkeche dikashasi shikra kani. So listen to this. If I come to the borrower, so the debt is due Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Right? Guten Chodesh, pay me back. Right? So I go ahead, I come to the creditor, and what happens? I see he's drinking. He's making l'chaims on Rosh Chodesh. In other words, he's drinking, and he's not what? He's not raising funds. So we'll say, in that case, we will say that what? I acquire the field. I lent Reuven money. Reuven gave me a field as collateral. I say, in the event that you don't pay me back by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, I get to keep the field that's worth three times the value of the debt. I come on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Reuven is drinking. So what's the halacha? I am kona the field. Why? Says Rashi, look at this. Shasi shikra bechanos. He's sitting inside the bar and he's drinking. Ein ze etzev lachser achar pidyon sadeh v'dayt l'shaka. Because it's clear that he's not raising any money, right? He's not trying to collect funds. So apparently, he doesn't really have any motivation to get his field back. And therefore what? It's indicative of the fact that he really doesn't mind giving up the field to the lender. On the other hand, t'kamahapech azuzi lokani. But if I find him on Kislev, and what? He's running around collecting money. Oh, then Einachinami Asmachta is Lokon. I don't acquire the field. Why? Because it's clear that it is his intention to go ahead and pay back the debt. I'm supposed to listen to this. Amri Ravacham Idifti Ravina. So Ravacham did say to Ravina, I don't understand why you are assuming that if he's drinking, it means that he's given up hope of getting the field. Dilma Lifachuche Pachtak Pachte Kashasi. Maybe he is drinking, why? To alleviate the stress of the day. Now, understand, that's not a good thing either. But Lamaisa, at least it doesn't indicate that he's totally yielding any rights to the field. In other words, just because he's drinking, literally, lafuchei pachte means to dispel fear, to dispel anxiety. Literally, maybe he's drinking because this is a very anxiety-provoking day for him. And therefore, again, that's why he's doing it. But it doesn't mean that he has a mind to give up the field. Inami, the other possibility is he's drinking. Why? Because inish achrina asmeche azuze. Because we'll say maybe somebody else agreed to pay for the debt. See, he's drinking because, again, he feels like he's done his ishtadlos. I found someone who's going to pay for the debt. And shalom ha'yistrol ala amravina, ikhapid bedami vadaikani. Rather, Avina says, if he's the kind of person who's kapid b'dami, Rashi says, kapid b'dami imakpid b'mechiras chafetzav shalafachos mishavyon. Rabbi will say, if we see that he's selling off his property in order to pay off his debt, and he will not take less than the value of his property. In other words, he will not take less for the value, he's selling off his possessions, and he will not sell his possessions for less than their rightful value. Then Rabbi will say, that is indicative that he is willing to yield the rights to his land. Why? Because if somebody is in financially dire straits, they will sell off their property and they will do, or their possessions, and they'll do it what? Even for below market. If he's a stickler to only getting market for his property or for his possessions, that shows that he's not really focused on redeeming this collateralized property, which means that asmachta kanyo, amrali aravacha medifti, maybe not. Dilma, Ravina, Dilma Savar, kihechi delotis salare. Well, maybe not, because it wasn't. Maybe the borrower, when he sells off his possessions, wants to be careful not to sell them below market. Why? Because when people sell off their possessions below market, what does that indicate? That indicates financial stress. If word gets out that he's under financial stress, financial duress, then what could happen? That will bring down the value of his other holdings as well. So in an effort to keep the value of his holdings high, right, or up, so the Mason maybe has to be not to undersell his property, but it's not necessarily indicative that he's willing to go ahead and give up the rights to his land. Elo amra papa, I kapit ba'ara vadai kani. Rather, again, says Rav Papa, what does it mean, I kapit ba'ara? She says, shelo yimkor shim karka filu b'shavyov. If he's unwilling to sell off his other possessions, his other pieces of property, even for their right value, then that indicates that he is indeed willing to yield the collateralized property. So listen to this. Now comes on Rav Papa and says the following. Even though the rabbi said asmachta lo kanyo, then we'll say, now we'll discuss halacha lemaisa what exactly we hold. But Rav Papa is saying, even though the rabbi said asmachta lo kanyo, an exaggerated promise that a person doesn't really have in mind to fulfill is not kone, is not binding. Nevertheless, apotiki havyo lemigba mina. So we'll say, listen to this. So let's go back. Same case. I lend Reuven money. $1,000. Reuven gives me a field that's collateral that's worth $3,000. I say to Reuven, Reuven, if you don't pay me back within 3 years, this field is mine. So Rav Papa is saying, listen, the way the Rabbanon are paskening, we'll see if this is actually true or not, but the way the Rabbanon are paskening is asmachta lo kanya, which means that after 3 years, if Reuven defaults on that land, then what? I do not have the right to keep that property. See, even though I don't, so Rav Papa says, even though I don't have the right to keep that property is still not potiki. Rav Papa, what does a potiki mean? I still have a claim against that property for what? For what? For the value of the debt. So meaning I have a $1,000 claim, that's the value of the debt, in the $3,000 piece of property. Granted, I can't keep the property in totality, but I do have a financial claim against the property. Amri Rav Huna Breid Rav Nasan. Lurat Papa. Mi ka amrle kani le govayna. But 1 second. Did the borrower ever agree that I should have some type of, that I should be able to use a piece of that property to satisfy my debt? Kind of the Govina means, who said the borrower agreed to that? Armeli Marzucha Beid Rav Mari, the Ravina, the Amar Kani Le Migve Mine, Kani. But again, if the borrower did say, listen, I'm giving you this as collateral, obviously the goal of this collateral is that you could collect this debt from it. Sof, sof, asmachtihi, vasmachta lo kanya. But I don't understand, doesn't that still fall into the realm of asmachta? And asmachta is not kona. Ela apotiki de kamra papa mahi. Rather, what does it mean when Rav Papa said that it's an apotiki? De amrle lo yehelecha piron ela mizok. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Rather, again, what he means is the following, that the lender is saying to the borrower that you will only get repaid from this piece of property. So we'll say, see, interesting, if you look at Rashi just a moment, what does this mean? It's almost right across in Rashi. So, listen to this. We're talking about a case over here where the borrower explicitly says that, look, any repayments that I'm going to have to give you over the course of this debt to the point of the due date of the debt is only going to come from this property. That's called an apotiki. You also remember, apotiki is a contraction. Apotehekoi. From here you will claim. So whatever claims you have against me will be satisfied from this particular piece of property. So we'll say, so what Rav Papa is saying is the following. Rav Papa is saying, even if you hold that asmachta lo kanya, right? And therefore, again, in a case where the collateralized piece of property is worth much more than the debt, even though the borrower said, if I default, it's yours, even though we don't accept that promise as binding, in the event of default of the loan, the lender, although he does not have the right to take full possession of the field, does have the ability to secure a portion of that field in order to secure his debt. In other words, he has a claim against the field in accordance with the value of the loan itself. Supposed to listen to this. There was a man who sold a field to his friend with a chrayas. And we'll say this case over here is talking about the following. I sell a field to Reuven, and I sell to him with a chrayas. Right? So chrayas means, again, I guarantee the field. Should one of my creditors come and seize the sold field in satisfaction of my debt, I, the seller, agree to make the buyer whole. So listen to this. So Amrle mi idis idis lo magbina lacha de ba'ina la mekom kamai ela magbina lacha mi idis achir de isli. So listen to this. So when I sell to the achrayis, the purchaser says, "Listen, here's the deal. If one of your creditors comes and seizes the field from me, I want the right to collect from your idis idis, from the best of your properties." To which I, the seller, say to the buyer, listen, here's the deal. I'm not going to give you from my idis idis. I'm not going to give you from the best of my fields. But what? I'll give you of my idis. I agree, because we'll say under normal circumstances, we learn this, you normally only have, you are only normally entitled to collect from Beinonis if you are a seller. Excuse me, if you have purchased fields and it's been seized by the seller's creditor, you can only collect from Beinonis. Here, the seller is agreeing to make the purchaser whole with Idis. Not the Idis, Idis, not the best of my fields, but the Idis. Fine. The Sof Tarfuamine. So we'll say, so what happens? Sure enough, one of my creditors came and took the field from Reuven, from the purchaser. Asa batka shakyale idis idis. We'll say in the interim also, my fields were flooded and my idis idis was wiped out. I no longer have idis idis. Now all I have is idis and beinonis. Sabra papalamer. So I'll say, so what happens? Reuven knocks on my door, and he says, what? You have to make me whole. You have to give me Idis. I must remember again, I promised Reuven Idis. At the time that I promised him Idis, what did I have? What did I have? I had Idis and Idis Idis. Now, I no longer have Idis Idis. I just have Idis. So what am I obligated to pay him back with? So Amar Rav Papa, so Sabra papalamer, me Idis. Rav Papa says, listen, I promised the guy Idis. I got to give him Idis. Amrei v'ha kaima. So the Gemara says, v'ha kaima. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So the Gemara says, actually, no, I'm sorry, not yet. Amrei rav acha midifti ravina v'leimolei ki amri lecha ana magvina lecha d'havi idis kaima. So I can say, listen, when I promised you idis, that's when I had idis. Hashta kaima le idis b'makom idis. And now I'll say, but now my idis now effectively becomes like my idis, which means what? I'm not obligated to pay you back from that. Instead, I'm only obligated to pay you back from the Beinonis. So Bosse, so that's again, that's the taina over here that Rav Acha Midifti said to Ravina, that Lamaisa, when I promised you it is, that's because essentially what was I promising you? What in essence was I promising you? Second best tier property. I was promising you my second tier property. So at the time that we made the agreement, my second tier property was Idis, because I had Idis. Now my Idis has been wiped out. My second tier property is going to be Beinonis, and that is all I am obligated ultimately to give you. And that indeed is how Rav Acha says that we paskin it. The seller only has to compensate the purchaser in accordance with his present Beinonis. So the Gemara goes right there. Rav Bar Shiva Hava Masik Bei Rav Kahana Zuzi. So we'll say, so what happened? You know what, actually, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up a mirror session with Rav Bar Shiva. Rav Bar Shiva, two more lines. Rav Bar Shiva Hava Masik Bei Rav Kahana Zuzi. So we'll say, Rav Bar Shiva lent Rav Kahana money. Amar Le Ilo Parana Lecha Leon Ploni Gabi Mehai Chamra. If I don't pay you back by a certain date, you could collect the debt from this wine. So look at Rashi. Gabi Le Mehai Chamra. Pasik Dom Lo Safiak. So we'll say what happened. That wine was worth $1,000. But what happened? The wine appreciated. Savara Papa Le Meimar Kiamina Smachta Lo Kanya Hani Midi Ba'ara De Lavli Zabuni Kamra. So we'll say, now the wine appreciated. So the question is that promise binding? Because when I agreed to allow you to use wine, right, as a form of repayment, then what? The wine was worth X. Now the wine skyrocketed. So is that promise to use the wine as repayment binding or not? So that Papa says, when do we say Asmachta Lo Kanya? That's only by land. That's only by property. Since it's not really normal for people to sell property anyway, we saw Asmachta Lo Kanya. However, again, Avachamra Dikevan De Lezabuni Kai Kazuzi Dami. But Rabbi say, ultimately, again, when it comes to wine, since people sell wine, because wine is like merchandise, they sell merchandise all of the time, therefore, what wine is the equivalent of money, and therefore you are permitted to go ahead and use this in part of this transaction, and the transaction will be binding. So even though Rabosai, in this case, the wine appreciated, we look at wine as a commodity. Commodities are looked at as money, and therefore, again, the promise is still binding. And we don't say, had I known that the wine was going to appreciate, I would have never made this promise. It's like an asmachta. This will not. So essentially, what's coming out over here is, even if you're the asmachta lokanya, asmachta lokanya is a din in karka. This din in karka won't necessarily be a din in metaltalin, because movable property often has the status of money, and therefore any promise ultimately will be binding. But so we'll stop over. We're not finished with asmachta. There is more incredible asmachta to come. It gets even better tomorrow. You're going to see Amir Hashem, but at least now we laid the groundwork for it.